So this morning, I wanted to talk about finding your blessing. Blessing. And I really appreciate how the Lord, you know, brought up about this morning that he knows our story, right? That he already knows what's ahead of us. We know what's behind us. We know what we're going through now, but he knows our whole story in front of us. And that includes being blessed, right? So what does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed is to access God's favor and protection. God's favor and protection. To realize that you are a son and a daughter of the one true God who wants to bestow blessings upon your life, whether you believe you deserve them or not. See, it's really easy to believe that you don't deserve God's blessings because we're not a perfect people. We make mistakes, right? Accessing God's blessings is walking in true synchronicity when it comes down to the destiny that he has in your life. Do you know what I mean this morning? Are you hearing me this morning? He has blessings for you. No matter if you feel like you're in sync with him or not, he wants to bless you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know," this is what God says, "for he knows," not us, we don't know, "the plans I have for you," right? "The plans ahead of us," declares the Lord. "Plans for welfare and not for evil." So plans to help us, not pull us back. "To give you a future and a hope." What's interesting, thinking about blessings and thinking about and reflecting on the time that we were with our kids in Poland and being around the orphans of Ukraine, is that we are not orphans. And so in our place, you know, in our mindset, you know, we both grew up with loving parents who invested in us, cared about how we felt, cared about, you know, the times we were in sports, wanting to be there watching us, when we got hurt on the playground. You know, we would run over to who? Mom and Dad. "I got a boo-boo," and they comfort us. This morning, Sadie came over, and she was showing me her little boo-boo on her foot, and she wanted to kind of tell me about how she got her boo-boo, and it wasn't directly on the foot, but it was on the little pinky toe. And so, so we have that mindset of like, we run to our father. But being with the kids in Ukraine, the kids that don't have that kind of concept, it really drives home how lucky we are and how blessed we are, right? When they don't have, you know, at nighttime we talk to the kids the most because they're in their rooms, they're on their phones, and it's the most intimate time that we communicate with them because we're usually asking them questions because they don't typically ask a whole lot, but we're showing them that we are invested in their lives where they don't get that. They don't have that. They don't experience that. And so it really just brings us to a new sense of feeling blessed, feeling like the Lord has brought us so much in our lives, and seeing those who don't have that, it just opens our hearts. And so when you're in sync with the Lord, his plans of blessings, they open up to us, right? Who will help guide us to these plans? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit guides us. Wait on him. Wait on him. What does waiting on him look like? We were waiting on him earlier. Taking a moment, stepping back from our busyness, listening, waiting on him, right? He speaks to us. Speak with him. We verbally speak with him. Sometimes in our mind, we'll speak with him. If you've ever been driving down 81, you might be thinking and speaking to other people that are around you driving. But how often do you just speak with him, you know, within your mind? Because he's still listening. Ask him to open you up and speak to you. So when I was younger, I used to think that God spoke with a big booming audible voice, right? Like as soon as I had a relationship with him and started to hear from him, in the physical, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to hear him talk to me. I'm going to hear him in the radio. Suddenly he's going to say something. You know, he's going to kick off the announcer and I'm going to hear him say something to me. How many know he doesn't exactly speak that way? Can he? Of course he can. He can do what he wants. He's God. But he's going to use people, he's going to use his word, he's going to use opportunities, he's going to use life experiences. to speak with us, right? Amen? You hear what I'm saying? So find his voice in your quiet times, in the word, speaking in prayer, communing with friends and family. He speaks all sorts of ways. We're going to receive his blessing. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Imperfect people don't make perfect choices." It's just the reality of it. Stop believing that you need to be perfect to receive God's blessing in your life. You do not need to feel like you have to be perfect to receive what God has for you. Right? You don't. I don't. I'm not perfect. But I want to walk forward so that I can receive that blessing. So what's preventing you from experiencing God's many blessings that he wants to pour out? Is it possible that you have blinders on, making it difficult to see his blessing in your life? So turn to your neighbor this morning, if you have a neighbor, and say, "You're going to be blessed today. You're going to be blessed today." So what are we doing? We're activating it, right? We're speaking it. So we're pushing it forward. We're not pulling it back in. Well, we're receiving it from our neighbor, but it's a back and forth blessing, right? "You're going to be blessed today." And then you say back to me, "You're going to be blessed today." We're communing. We're going back and forth. So to identify his blessing, we first have to be open to the blessing. We realize that God is the source of all blessings, right? Psalm 112, and it's cool because the Psalms have a ton of different blessing verses, but this is one of them. 112 says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Sometimes we also have that warped idea of how God operates. We have fallen short of his glory. That doesn't stop him from pouring out his blessing into our lives. Look around you. He's breathed life into us, right? Think about how far you've come. I love how Pastor Steve said that at the end of communion. Think about how far you've come. Think about it. Think about where you were and where you are, and it's amazing where you're going to be going, right? We still have much more life to live. There are 195 verses in the Bible referencing blessing. 195. So you would think that God is trying to say a little something. You know, he repeats a lot of things, and I think he repeats a lot of things for those of us who maybe don't focus as well. I'm one of those people sometimes, where my wife will say something, and did I hear her? I might have. Then she says it again. I probably heard it, but it didn't register because of selective listening. Then she says it a third time, and then I get in trouble, and then I actually hear it. So it feels like God is kind of the same way a lot of times in his word, where he kind of speaks the same thing over and over and over and over, because he knows, like, we have to eventually get it. We'll eventually hear it, because he speaks it over and over and over. So 195 times, verses referencing a blessing in the Bible. Ask yourself, does God want to bless me? Yeah, you'd think so. You see, God is not Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. He is not Santa Claus. He doesn't show up once a year to give you gifts, right? No. You don't need to sit on his lap hoping that you've been a good little girl or boy. Does he want you to follow his commands? Of course he does. He isn't a genie that resides in a bottle. He isn't granting three wishes. He desires to be an active participant in our lives. His blessings are numerous. Often we have to get from point A through point B to get to what? Point C, right? And getting through point B never is fun, never is easy, never is ideal. It's never what we want to go through. But God has a plan. But God has a plan to bless us. And sometimes we don't see the big picture. I'm getting ahead of myself because I actually have a really cool little thing about the big picture, but I'll get to that. At Christmas time in the past, I remember sitting on my phone and just looking through the apps, and my kids are kind of like on the cusp of like the whole Santa Claus thing. So when they were really into the, like, yeah, Santa's going to bring me a gift, I made the mistake of downloading a Santa Claus app on my phone. the Naughty or Nice app, right? You kind of see where I'm going with this. And I'm like, guys, let's check this out. Oh, Santa's coming. I wonder if you've been naughty or nice. And you could pre-program naughty and nice in there. And I was, you know, being kind of silly, and I'm like, you know, putting Aiden as naughty. He's not a bad kid. It's just, I just thought it was funny. So, you know, I put it in, and it goes back and forth. Oh, you've been naughty. And his brothers are like, ah, you've been naughty. And Aiden, he already knew. He already knows what's real and what's not. So he's just like, ha, 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 ha. We get to Lucas. You're nice. And then I don't know why I decided to put Zane as naughty. It just, I was being cheeky and funny, and I thought it'd be funny with him, but it was not. It got to the naughty, and his little face was like, it broke my heart, because I'm like, why did I do this? Like, you know, like, this isn't who I am doing this to this poor child. But he's not, God's not Santa Claus. He's not going to trick us. He's not going to put us in that naughty category, right? He doesn't just show up that one time and says, you know what? This time you prayed to me, so I'm going to heal you, right? He's a God who is constantly looking for opportunities to bless us because of who we are as his kids, right? Huh. Feels good knowing that. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It feels good to know that God doesn't change, right? We may have people in our lives that change. As we get older, we change. We grow grays in our hair. We decide that we're LeBron James at our kids' YMCA basketball practices, going up for alley-oops with the other parents, thinking we can slam dunk it in there, only to find out that our bodies are not what they used to be, even though I'm 38, but, you know, we make those mistakes. But it's good to know that God does not change, right? It's good to know that he is still healing us, that he's still looking after us, that he's still blessing us, even though we may not feel like it, or we're going through something and we don't see him in that perfect storm. God wants to release the opportunity for you to experience every good and perfect gift he has planned for you. You may not feel like you deserve it, but you are his kid and he wants you to feel his love. The choice to be blessed is yours. So like at Christmas time, kids are expecting gifts, right? During the year, do they always expect gifts? Well, when they go into like Target, they always expect gifts for some reason. They think they're gonna get something every time they go in the store. And we have to explain to the boys, like, that's not the case all the time, right? But like our kids are at the age where they're doing chores and they're constantly trying to figure out how to earn. They play this game called Fortnite that has digital cash. So they want to enhance their characters by buying skins and all this stuff. And it's exhausting because they're always like, how can I earn money? How can I do this? And we've explained to them, chores, this is how you earn money. This is how you become blessed, by following the rules of the chore chart. But they sometimes don't want to go and do those chores. They want to take the easy way out. They want dad to just tell them to do one little thing that takes 2 seconds and earn $12. Doesn't work like that all the time, right? Does not work like that. So the choice to be blessed is yours. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. So there's choices, right? Blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. Okay? So he's being very clear here. Choose life, choose blessings, not death, not curses. God sees the big picture when we see the current picture, right? God sees it. So this little quote I found says, sooner or later, you will see the big picture. God is painting for your life instead of just the colors he's using at the moment. Oh, we see the colors, right? We see the small things. We have to make an active decision to accept and access his blessings upon our lives. So here's the part of my sermon where I thought I would just get a little personal for a second. Sometimes I feel like I probably overshare. Maybe that's true, but I kind of like to be transparent. And, you know, I've said this plenty of times where I get up to preach and I'm preaching to myself, But I'm glad that you guys kind of get some of what I'm preaching to myself. So I'll have to read through this because I have to remember a little bit. But so these past 6 months have probably been the hardest 6 months of my life. You know, this isn't a AA meeting or anything like that. I'm not trying to pour out everything. But I went from a terrible position and a terrible job to suddenly being in a different position in something that I really enjoy now. But at the time, you know, I felt like I was stuck. You ever feel stuck? Stuck in your job, stuck in, you know, just doing the same thing. Things aren't going your way, and you feel like you're kind of failing, right? And then I busted my ACL, and then I have friends and family who, one's in a hospital, my brother's going through a lot of stuff emotionally and physically because of the toll that the Army put on his body, and the extra hurdles with this adoption process and that kind of thing. And so I felt the lows. Can't say that I felt a whole lot of highs. But the phrase, the struggle is real, really started to take effect. Have you ever felt the struggle is real? You know, you hear somebody say that to you jokingly. Oh, brother, the struggle is real. Well, when the struggle's really real, doesn't feel like a great phrase to use at all. But the struggle is real feels so real when you're going through that time, right? And I remember when Jeff and Nancy were here, what was it, maybe a month or two ago? Probably more, four, three, something like that. That's how quickly the months have gone by. And they spoke encouragement over me and mentioned that, you know, I would be in kind of a valley. But that valley, being stuck in the valley, doesn't necessarily mean you stay in the valley. But when you're in the valley, it feels like you're stuck in the valley, right? But God's saying, no, there's a time for everything, and there's a reason for everything, but you're not going to be stuck there, right? Like, the children of God, we're not stuck in the desert their whole lives, right? They eventually moved on. They got stuck eating that terrible bread for 40 years. In Poland, there's a lot of pastries. And the first day, it was exciting eating pastries for breakfast. They were cream-filled, they were delicious, they were nothing that I've ever tasted here. Day two, all right, let's do this again, let's try a different pastry, right, because they don't eat eggs and bacon, there's no big American breakfast. It's like pastry, ice cream, cake, and coffee, maybe. Wherever you go, and then we were in like a small town. Day three, all right, I guess we're going to eat pastries again. Like, this is not, you know, great for the body to just keep eating pastries. Day four, I didn't want pastries anymore. Like, just find me something different. Day five, I guess I'm not eating breakfast because I can't deal with the pastries, right? So he doesn't leave us in that spot eating the pastries every single day. But when we're in that moment, when we're in that valley, it feels like we're stuck eating those pastries, right? So it was not to be permanent, right? So God has blessing that he wants to pour out to us. Point A, point B, we're not stuck in point B forever. We're going to get to point C. We're going to get that blessing. We're going to see the progress that God puts before us. So I guess my sharing is that we even when we can't see his blessings, feel his presence, have blinders on, he's not left us or forsaken us. And many a times he had to remind me, hey, he hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. He hasn't kept me in the recliner chair for the 3 days that I was stuck in the recliner chair. And poor Steve had to help me as I'm screaming in pain because it was terrible with the stitches. He was not going to leave me there, but he was going to advance, right? What he has for me, he was going to bless me. So he is with us through the storm and in the valley. The Lord's blessing valve does not simply shut off because we aren't on cloud nine spiritually, right? So he's not just closing that nozzle. Well, you haven't read my word in 5 days. I haven't heard from you. I think I'm just going to close that valve and stop all the blessing that I have for you in your life. He doesn't do that. He's not that kind of God. He's not that kind of father, regardless if you've had a father who decided, you drop something, I'm just going to send you to a room and not talk to you the rest of the day. Our Heavenly Father is not like that. He's a loving God. He's one that notices that we're not perfect, notices that we make mistakes, notices that we've fallen short, but he's willing to bring us to glory with him. He still pours out his blessings upon us. It's time for us to open our hearts to access it and accept it. Thank the Lord for the body of Christ, friends and family to speak into our lives to remind us of this, right? We need each other. We need each other because it is easy to fall into that rut. It is easy to not find that place in our lives to access the blessing when we're not thinking about communing with God. We need people to prop us up, remind us, and come alongside of us. And, you know, I'm thankful for Pastor Kurt, who, you know, took me out to lunch and, you know, had some time talking to me and just letting me kind of lift some of that off my shoulders, you know, because it can eat you up real quick. If you're sitting in silence by yourself and you're not recollecting that you can go to the Father, because let's be honest, sometimes we just feel like we can't. I don't know what you know why, but it feels like we can't. And he's just reminding us that there's going to be people that are going to come alongside us and push us and nudge us back to Father. So I have another verse, but I didn't put where it's from. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Walking through the valley. God's still there. God has always been there. I'm a Star Wars fan. I know my father-in-law as well. And there's a scene on one of the new Obi-Wan Kenobi Star Wars TV episodes on Disney Plus. And there's a master named Qui-Gon and an apprentice named Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan has gone through this big journey, and he's returning back to his home planet, and he's about to go hide away in a cave. And suddenly he sees his old master appear as a ghost, right? And Obi says, "Master Qui-Gon." And Qui-Gon says, "Well, it took you long enough." And Obi-Wan says, "I was beginning to think you'd never come," right? And Qui-Gon says, "I was always here, Obi-Wan. You just weren't ready to see me." Sometimes it feels like that with the Lord. Like, God, suddenly now you showed up, right? As I was kind of going through and not feeling blessed at all. And God's like, "I was there the whole time. You might not have been ready to see me because I had to get you from A through B all the way to C, but I was still there." And it's comforting knowing that regardless of what we're going through, he is still there. Honor God and follow his commands to receive blessing. Desire his presence. Walk in his ways and he will guide your path. The fear of the Lord leads to blessing. In Psalm 112 it says, "Praise the Lord, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delights in his command." The fear mentioned isn't the fear of terror, of being scared, or of the boogeyman, but as one would be afraid of the Lord out of reverence, out of awe, the great Creator and Father, who promises that we will be blessed when we revere him. Follow his commands, realize that you're loved by him. In Deuteronomy 28:2 it says, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." Oh, do you want to be overtaken? Yeah? That's so good. Like, yeah, I want to be overtaken. I want to be, smitten? Is that a good word to use? I want to be smitten with his blessing upon my life. I want to see him move. I don't want to be, you know, stuck just rolling my tires. My dad was recently here, and he likes tractor pulls, right? And so he pulled up on YouTube, and, you know, we're just kind of hanging out watching, like, these tractor pulls, and we're seeing, like, these big tractors with these, like, monster truck tires. And they're just, like, it seems kind of mundane because it's like, well, they hook on and they pull, and that's it. And then the next one, they pull. But if you see them spinning their tires, like, they're just spinning and spinning and trying to get just that extra inch so that they can be winners and beat out their opponents. And I'm like, wow. So they get to a point and they're still spinning. They're just trying to dig in to get that extra inch. And it feels like sometimes we're just trying to dig in to get that extra inch in life, right? We're just trying to dig out of where we're at. And And God's saying, I want to overtake. I want to go that extra step, right? But we have to allow him to do that. So all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. If, so here's the part. So you will get to that point if you obey the voice of the Lord, your God. Pretty clear. Just obey me, and you're going to see blessing in your life. Believe this with your heart and not your head. The head thinks all sorts of things, right? But the heart feels. The heart feels. His commands are there to keep us safe, to keep us grounded. Trust the process. Trust that he loves you with a deep and passionate love. His commands will lead to an abundant life. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us. Do you need help finding your blessing? Surround yourself with others to encourage you. You can't see yourself differently until you see God differently. Purpose requires that you have proper perspective of yourself. Proper perspective. So he's going to bring people into our lives. Genesis 2. If you have your Bible, you can go to Genesis 2, verse 4. And this is the account of Adam. Adam's preaching about Adam. Well, God kind of brought it to my head. So, and it's the account of Adam. God had just created everything, and he's looking down at Adam, and he sees Adam by himself, right? So this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came upon the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there was the tree of life, the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The name of the second river is Gihon Rivers. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It runs along the east side of the shore, and the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Very clear. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So he's already identifying that we are people that are to be aligned with other people. That it's not healthy for us to be alone. Yes, we need our alone time. I got three boys, possibly more to come. I like a little alone time. My wife likes a little alone time. But have you ever been in a crowded room? Sometimes it's hard to hear your own thoughts when you're in a crowded room. It's just so loud. Like if you go to a wedding, you ever been to a wedding reception and they blast the music and you're sitting next to somebody and you want to have a conversation and you have to scream at the top of your lungs, why the heck do they do that? I don't understand that. Like, let's stick everybody at a table to like talk and like catch up with, you know, Uncle Terry, who you haven't seen in 12 years, but you can't hear the guy because they're blasting the music. Yes, so we're to commune with one another, right? So it's important. It's not good for the man to be alone. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So he had a job. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. After you've had surgery, you don't want to read that. It just brings up memories. Don't want anybody inside doing stuff still. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman and she was taken out of man. Father God made us to be a part of each other's lives, not to be alone, right? To speak blessings into one another's lives. Surround yourself with people who speak life and not death, blessings and not curses. James 3:9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. So we have a choice. Are we going to speak life? Or are we going to speak death? Blessings or curses? I want to be somebody who speaks blessing, right? Romans 8:31, more than conquerors. What then shall we say in response? If God is for us, who can be against us? He's going to pour out blessing, but we have to be ready and able to receive that blessing, right? We might be in that valley, but we need to identify who we are and that he wants to do what he wants to do in our lives. And so I want to take a moment. I have a song called The Blessing. It's so good. And it's one of those songs that I like to play in the car when I'm having that time with the Lord. And he's just always just reminding me who I am and how he wants to bless. And so if we can play that, I have a piece of scripture that I want to just bless everybody here, bless those who aren't here, bless over our church family. So just, you know, take this time to just accept and open your hearts to his blessing.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you, beside you, all around you. He'll be with you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning and the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 He is for you.
The Lord will command the blessing on you and your barns and all that you undertake. He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. He has sworn to you. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, and all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the Lord, the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, saith the Lord in Deuteronomy. Father would say this morning that he wants to pursue you, that he is pursuing you with a love that is beyond anything that you could ever imagine or feel, that you are not lost but found, that you are not cursed but blessed. That you are not in despair. That he is with you. That he is guiding you. That he is blessing you. That he is opening up the storehouses for you. You may not see it right now. You may feel like you're in a desperate place. But the picture is bigger than you know. The picture is bigger than you can even see right now. Trust the process. Trust in the Father. For he loves you. He cares for you. He's invested in you. Wanting to see you blessed. Wanting to see you in the place that he has designed and planned for you. It's time to accept it. It's time to pull down the blinders, pull down the walls, pull down the things that prevent you from seeing blessing. In your comings, in your goings. In front of you, behind you, on the side of you. It's not about where you've been, but about where you're going. Blessing precedes you, says the Lord. My blessing precedes you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to change us, mold us, open our hearts. We know our identity. We know who we are. We're taking a stand against the plans of the enemy, where he tries to put plans in motion, but we realize you're so much bigger. You're so much bigger. You're the healer. You're going to heal us physically. You're going to heal us spiritually. You're going to heal us emotionally. You're going to take us out of place B, all the way to see in your glory. Accept his blessing upon your life this morning. Accept his blessing. You deserve his blessing. You are not terrible. You are not evil. No matter what anybody says against you, the forces of darkness will not prevail against you. You will feel his presence in your life, says the Lord. Walk in his presence. Accept that he's going to open up doors of blessing to use you as the disciples were used. He is for you, not against you. Receive his blessing today. Yeah.
Amen. Have a great holiday weekend. You are dismissed. Thank you, Pastor Adam.